Program number 498, June 21st, 1981. I can't believe the year is half over. It is. I guess it's time for contemplation. It's gone so fast, the half a year. We've survived the Reagan administration for a half of a year, and I have a lot of feelings about what has come down the last 6 months. It's also the nice, longest day of the year, and the days get shorter towards winter. That's hard to believe, too. I was almost going to spend the evening just reading poetry with you or talking about Father's Day and the Ronald Reagan family. There's ordinary people, and then there's the extraordinary people. And I cracked up today when I read an article by Nancy Reagan about the Reagan family, and I may share a few thoughts with you about that. The year began with a preview. Ronald Reagan's a movie actor, you know. We got a preview in December when John Lennon was killed, a little taste of what was going to come down. As a matter of fact, on the radio program, December the 7th, 1980, Sunday night, I talked about the assassination teams. They're all together from the early 60s. Those were the early rock days when they were trying to deport John Lennon and Yoko. And I talked about the murder team would be ready to move and assassinate quickly soon again. And the next day, John Lennon was murdered. And as the story evolves, and there's a wall of silence around Chapman, the man who's been charged with the murder, I know more and more that this was a large conspiracy. I knew it immediately. And the next day after the program, I talked about this murderous team and mentioned the gang that did so many violences before they got some more power in Washington, D.C. The very next day, that shooting had taken place. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan waited a long time to become president, and he got his inauguration and oath of office, and within 3 months, he was shot. We predicted that again the evening before on radio program, that the shooting would begin inside the White House. And, of course, the wall of silence about John Hinckley Jr., the charges, and he isn't even visible. We haven't seen him since then. And then a couple months later, the Pope was shot, and he's suffering pain and complications at the present time. And they're putting off the trial of Ajah, Muhammad Ajah, because they know that even if he were alone in St. Peter's, and they haven't really concluded that he was alone, he had assistance, and again, the interweaving links of the Hinckley gang and the Turkish Nazi group, the international group, and the same kind of people behind Chapman's shooting of Lennon has kept these people at a standstill. They began very strong when the administration began. We heard a lot of Mr. Pipes and Mr. Stessel and Alexander Haig and Richard Allen and William Casey and Ronald Reagan. But they've quieted down a little bit. A lot of the wind is out of their sails, and they're noticeably quieter than they were when they were just fresh and strong and in office. There are a lot of scandals going on. The Italian scandal that I've talked about for the last 3 weeks is horrendous, and it's kind of at a standstill. I'm just sitting home chuckling and laughing, knowing what they know and knowing how nervous they must be. I wouldn't want to be in their place. I sincerely believe that the Italians aren't going to let it wash away. They've had enough. They're impoverished. They have reason to be angry about what's been coming down in their country. And they're sitting on it. And it's an interesting case that I thought maybe I'd just update some of the news this week and get back to Mr. Sindone and the Italian scandal next week, because it's going to take a long time for that to unravel, and we don't want to get too behind in other articles. But when you talk about the bad news of the assassination attempt on Mrs. Gandhi or the killing of the president of Bangladesh and the president of Ecuador and the assassination this week on the Marcos assassination attempt that was stopped, there's a lot of bad news, but there is good news. There is another counterforce holding all of this evil that has transpired that I've studied for years, and I feel very confident that the powers that be are holding them at bay. People like Michael Hand have not been discovered, and if they were dead, they would be glad to announce it. The partner of Frank Nugent from that bank in Australia, the CIA bank, and the money at the Wells Fargo has not been accounted for. There's hundreds and hundreds of millions. I added up $22 billion in just 2 or 3 hours the dates and times when that was missing. And the bankers must be very nervous, and the people eventually will respond, as they are doing in Italy, to a lot of dirty work that they've known has been going on for a long time. But at some point, they're going to say, we've had enough. Mr. Sindona took about $235 million out of the Vatican funds. He took money out of Luxembourg, Liechtenstein banks, Swiss banks, Milan banks, the Franklin National Bank. In New York City, Mr. Aja shot the Pope. He didn't shoot him anywhere but in Rome, Italy, and that wasn't really very smart. The Rome Italian police have him, and no doubt he must be talking, and the more he talks, the more complicated this gets, and it will bring a noose around Alexander Haig and NATO and, I believe, Ronald Reagan and many officials in government today. Time magazine this last weekend, an article on the Italian scandal, and they're beginning to recognize it is indeed a scandal. This is the fourth week. They said for 17 days they've been trying to resolve the latest crisis, but the Italian people have settled in for a prolonged period of political paralysis. And you can say that again. This is a long period of political paralysis because of the Italian scandal. They are investigating charges such as espionage, tax fraud, illegal currency dealings, and planning to undermine the state. They always list everything but murder, but they know that this gang have already been suspected of many, many murders and have been linked to those murders through the media and courts for a long, long time. They went on to say that the selection of a new cabinet will shed full light on the P2 affair, that's the Italian scandal, and they will take all necessary measures needed to dissolve the secret lodge, the center of pollution of national life, secret, perverse, and corrupting influences. Well, if they are going to get rid of the center of the pollution of their life, then they have to go to the CIA in the United States and the Republican Party in the United States and Michael Sindona and the people that put Richard Nixon into office and Ronald Reagan also, because we never finished wiping up that pollution. Time magazine said, whatever the outcome, the new mandate in Italy will guarantee that the crisis is going to drag on as repercussions from the Masonic affair shake the nation's establishment. Now, they're talking about Italy, but it's going to come across to the United States and into Spain and into South America, to Argentina, and to Otto Skorzeny and Nazi funds and secret powers to overthrow governments and kill people. And Time magazine has settled back and has resigned to the fact that this is going to be a long affair. They are not making a lot of the connections, but they realize how long it's going to be. They said until now, the arrest warrants have only been for two people, Grandmaster Licio Gelli, who I mentioned last week was at Reagan's inauguration and was active with the Republican Party. He's believed to be in Uruguay, and Colonel Vieser, the former head of the Government Intelligence Service, which would be the equivalent of our CIA. And there's little doubt that other arrests will go on. Now they begin talking about the deaths, and they talk about one fellow who was shot and killed. Mr. Rossi, the Treasury police, shot and killed himself. This is June the 5th, last week. He's the first death that Time magazine talks about in relationship to this case since it began to unfold in the past 3 weeks. They talk about Mr. Rossi, who shot himself. And then they say the next day, another official, Mr. Stamati, was put in the hospital under assumed name in Milan, and he had a heart attack. There was another story that he tried to commit suicide. If you had a magnifying glass or good eyes, one of the listeners to this radio program sent me a one-sentence article in the San Francisco Examiner this week that Mr. Alessandro Canessi, 84, an Italian financier on trial for illegally transferring funds abroad, yesterday in Milan. The article was so short they didn't even say he died. He just yesterday in Milan. He was involved with that $2 billion Saudi Arabian oil tax money that was sent to Argentina. Italy is impoverished, and the money that should be going to the people is going out of the country. So there are three deaths in the last week. And just as Watergate came down, and I did a story on Watergate for Globe magazine, oh, about a year and a half afterwards, it was the 30 deaths immediately after Watergate, within a year of Watergate, primary witnesses to the Watergate Hotel entry and to the Republican Party, not counting the 30 was like just Dorothy Hunt on the plane crash. I didn't count the other 45 with her. But primary witnesses that had to be murdered, Murray Trautner and Beverly Kay in the White House, that typed up the missing 18-minute on the tape, or the part that was later erased. And I've mentioned those on programs before. So just in the last week, three people, one killed himself, one tried to kill himself, and one was a witness to a trial and died. And Time again says Rome magistrates have advised 260 officials on their list that they are being investigated. 15 of Italy's top generals and admirals. Well, Time magazine is a little cautious on that. Last week it was 47 generals and 77 admirals whose security clearances were removed who work in NATO with Alexander Haig in this secret team and government. And then they went on, if all of the officials linked to the P2 are suspended from the government, there will be two cabinet ministers, three undersecretaries, 136 members of the armed forces, police, 54 high civil servants will be forced to take a holiday. And they concluded the authorities are moving slowly to establish a firm legal footing from which to deal with the ramifications of the Masonic affair. The political consequences are just beginning to be felt. So while we've been talking on the radio on this program for 3 weeks, starting with the day that the story broke on how important it was, Time magazine, as a sounding board, is telling you it's going on, it's going to be important, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of charges, and it will take a long time to relate it directly to Washington, D.C., but when one part falls down, it will have to fall down. Now, that scandal and the shooting of the president and the pope and these various other things reminds me of sometimes I have to go to Robinson Jeffers or some of my favorite poets to describe the situations that I'm reading in the newspaper. We'll get back to the news in a minute. I'll just read one poem by Jeffers called Be Angry at the Sun. He said that public men publish falsehoods is nothing new, that America must accept, like the historical republics, corruption and empire has been known for years. Beware of people like that. They are all bound on the wheel. These people, those warriors, observe them just gesticulating, hard word, isn't it? Observe them going down. The gang serves lies. The passionate man plays his heart part. The cold passion for truth hunts in no pack. From Dante's feet, you are far, but even farther from his dirty political hatreds. Stay away from them. Let boys want pleasure and men struggle for power and women perhaps for fame. And the servile to serve a leader, and the dupes to be duped, but yours is not theirs. Just stay out of it and watch them fall. He says, we have seen the human race capture all its dreams except peace. We have watched mankind like Christ toil up and up to be hanged at the top. That's Robinson Jeffers warning you to stay away from these kind of people. These are the falling years. They will go deep. Never weep, never weep. With clear eyes, explore the pit. Watch the great people fall with religious awe. It is not Europe alone that is falling into blood and fire. Decline and fall have been dancing in men's souls for a long time. Sometimes at the last gasp comes peace to every soul. Never to mine until I find out and speak the things that I know. Robinson Jeffers was a very political person and a decent person, and he had a lot of views on war and hatred of people towards each other and the stupidity of it and the way they climbed the top and then fall down. And he warned you, stay away from it and keep your children from it and don't have any part of it, and then you won't have to suffer the falling from disgrace. Just a few more words of his from a poem, Shine, Perishing Republic. While this America settles in the mold of its vulgarity, heavily thickening to empire, and protest is only a bubble in the molten mass, it pops and sighs out, and that mass hardens. But for my children, I have them keep their distance from the thickening center of corruption, because corruption has never been compulsory, And when the cities lie at the monster's feet, there are left the mountains. And boys, be in nothing so moderate as in love of man, a clever servant, insufferable master. There is a trap that catches spirits, that catches them. Be careful. It even caught God when he walked on earth. I like Robinson Jeffers. And as you study the daily newspaper of the ways that the government wants to trap us with new laws about internment camps and turning military bases into prisons and new wiretappings and new means of repression, I really don't think it'll work. I think they may try it. They may declare an emergency. But they have too many things on their mind. And I see the system getting unglued. I really do. Last week, I talked about the article in the newspaper about Mohammed Ajay and the Pope's alleged assailant reportedly trained at a Palestinian camp. There was an article about being in Damascus, Syria, and location of the PLO where he possibly was trained to kill the Pope. And I said, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a CIA base and that there are many CIA bases in Syria and in Lebanon, and that the places where these assassins go or would-be assassins go are every bit as part of the CIA establishment as they are of any leftist group or what they want us to think is leftist. Well, then there, very next morning, the New York Times ran a large article. They're having a two-part series, The Gaddafi Connections, the CIA Links to Terrorists. I'll do more on that and maybe update one whole evening on the Gaddafi connections of the CIA. But a gentleman that worked with Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson and George Corcoran, and I've talked about them many, many times, is talking now and revealing his role. His name is Kevin P. Mulcahy, M-U-L-C-A-H-Y. I never knew that name until Seymour Hersh of the New York Times had an article about him. But now he's telling about the role of the CIA with Wilson and Turple, with the PLO, the Red Brigades of Italy, the Red Army of Japan, the Bader-Meinhof in Germany, the Irish Republic Army, and I've talked about that in the evening before this story broke, and the role of the CIA and Carlos the Jackal from Venezuela, and the CIA money that and the weapons that went into Turple, Corcoran, and what we think is the left terrorist group that the Soviet Union is arming is actually armed to the teeth by people from the United States and living in England and Monte Carlo who are supplying them with weapons, with germ warfare, with rockets to launch. And every time they do something, we say they're Russian trained. And now the stories are beginning to break also that these are not leftist terrorists but are trained by the CIA. There was another article about the Ku Klux Klan that somebody sent me from the San Francisco Examiner, the Klan resurging on army bases in Germany. Imagine the United States having army bases in Germany where United States soldiers were giving two black people some strychnine poisoning that sent them to the hospital. They had cramps and dizzy spells. Their poison was administered in their coffee because they were black, serving the United States Armed Forces in Germany, where two white Armed Forces people in Germany are members of the United States Army and the Ku Klux Klan and are giving strychnine in the coffee, similar to the way the CIA was testing arsenic in food in the Middle East. This, of course, could be stopped in 1 minute if the government wanted it to, but it goes on and on. There was another article similar to the one I mentioned last week, the Italian Scandals Reagan Link. This was from, again, the People's World, another article linking Ronald Reagan and his links to Mr. Licio Gelli, the Grand Master of the Klan, coming to the inauguration. And the article says that with this Masonic Lodge story breaking, we're getting suicides, resignations, mounting criminal indictments, and it stretches closer and closer to the White House. So there are articles in the United States beginning to say the Italian scandals, Reagan link, and the very first moment they were looking for Mr. Gelli 3 weeks ago, I immediately could put pieces together and think that this may be a Reagan gate, and actually what we should have in this country is 200 or 300 people be forced to resign and open it up the way the Italian people are going to do, and whether we want to or not, we may be forced to do that. interesting resignation of Justice Potter Stewart, the Supreme Court. I know Ronald Reagan has been dying to make appointments. This is a very important strategic move on his part. Mr. Stewart is not sick. I remember when Richard Nixon became president, he had a quick choice. I think Mr. Goldberg resigned, and when Lyndon Johnson was on, Abe Fortas resigned. They seem to get their liberal cronies to get out so the more conservative can get on. It'll be interesting to see who Ronald Reagan appoints, but I'm wondering, because of the Republican Party being close to that Mr. His name is G-U-A-R-I-N-O, the director of the Republican National Committee, with Mr. Gelli, Licio Gelli. I'm wondering if Justice Potter or any other Republicans in Washington, D.C. have other connections, and the sudden resignation of this person has any links to the Italian scandals. There's people in public office who resign or who die of these, what we call apparent heart attacks suddenly, or accidents, and you think they have no link to the news that is coming down that is scandalous, and then weeks or months or years later, you see that there was a direct link. But it wasn't obvious at the time. There sometimes is a link, and it didn't seem, it seemed strange that Stewart waited, and he wanted the election to be over, and all of a sudden he says, I'm leaving, my time's up, and I'm going out. So it'll be interesting to see who Ronald Reagan puts in his place. We haven't updated the Wells Fargo story. It's in limbo. I want to do a lot more on that. Ross Fields, that's Harold Smith, was sentenced this week to go to jail for a few weekends. He's to serve 40 consecutive weekends because he used a false name on a passport. Now, that's the fellow that the Wells Fargo tried to charge with $21 million missing from the bank. He hasn't been arrested on those charges. They got him on some minor charges. He still maintains that the bank employees used his account to siphon money through, that he was just a front for that. And if they really were missing $21 million, and he says it's $200 to $300 million, they would at least charge for the $21 million. They've had enough time now, 6 months or so. I did a lot in December on the Wells Fargo scandal, but they're not charging with that, so it's interesting that they've pinned the loss of all this money on this particular man, and he's going to jail on weekends because he used a false name. This last week, there was a fire in San Francisco in the Tishman Building, and the evening news showed the building burning, the 14th floor in San Francisco, and only one news story bothered to mention that the fire was the records research room of the Wells Fargo Bank. The Los Angeles Times didn't carry a story, but they've had many stories on Harold Smith and the Wells Fargo scandal, the missing money and the tangled web, money out of the Hollywood branch that went to Tennessee, the Palisades branch, the Marina branch. That story was just, the lids were put on that. But there was a picture in the L.A. Times, June the 18th, 1981, high-rise fire, smoke billows from the 14th story of the 14th floor, the 38th story of the Tishman Building. There's a fire that began in the records research room belonging to the Wells Fargo Bank. So I'm sure when that fire was put out on the 14th floor that somehow or other the records of where the $200 or $300 million, if it was that, are destroyed, or if there are court cases looking into it, they probably couldn't deep six it or sneak it out, but very conveniently the records research room of the headquarters of the Wells Fargo Hotel had a little fire in the middle of the high rise, but that's over now. Don't worry, and the records just got burnt, okay? There's a trial that'll begin this week in New York. It won't be long. It'll probably be a 30-minute trial for Mark David Chapman. He's pleading guilty to the shooting of John Lennon because God told him to. His psychiatrist was Bernard Diamond. He was flown in from California as one of the psychiatrists. He's the man who hypnotized Sirhan to tell him how he killed Robert Kennedy when Sirhan didn't put the fatal bullets in Robert Kennedy. So I'm sure that Bernard Diamond must have expertise in telling Chapman, you know, how he had this vision of God and not the CIA and not at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, or not in Beirut, Lebanon, or in not the training in DeKalb County to be a marksman, or the trip around the world with his various cronies and his money and his art collections and his visit the Sheraton Hotel and the $2,000 in his pocket. God, I guess, did all that, too. He's a very religious man. He's a Jesus freak, so I guess God gave him a lot of trips, and God has told him plead guilty. And if he pleads guilty, then there's no trial, and there wouldn't be much of a trial anyway. So John Lennon is dead and gone, and Mr. Smart Aleck, attorney for Chapman, Mr. Mark, said, "I talked to Chapman a lot, and I've never been there when God has been there." Well, that's a dumb remark for an attorney. Tom Davis from Aptos, California, did an interview with me. We may get out a interview or a newsletter once a week. He has a 5-page summary or interview on the John Lennon killing, and it's, if you want it, write to research, P.O. Box 1107, Aptos, California, 95003, and send $1, and you'll get 5-page summary of the John Lennon question and answers about the Lennon assassination and Mark David Chapman. And I think we'll keep this up from time to time and get some more material into print. From Santa Barbara, from a listener, I got a legal notice, a tiny thing from the Santa Barbara News, and I thought I would share it with you. As I say, this Italian scandal will go on for a long time. The Hinckley trial is going to begin for a year. The Reagan shooting, and there's a lot of news to update and some things that you may not be getting in your newspaper that I want to share with you this evening, just to slow down the pace a little bit. This is from the Santa Barbara News Review, a legal notice. This is public notice. This is to certify that an agency of the United States intelligence community is conducting a long-term experimental domestic agent development program targeting an American citizen. This citizen, herein called the subject, shall be identified by his Social Security number, which is 554-60-1935. The nature of the program is described in the May 1928-29 and June 1st and 2nd, 1981 Los Angeles Daily Journal public notice. In summary, the subject appears to have an unusual skill useful to the agency, the CIA. In 1976, the subject was formally asked to join the agency. The subject declined. The agency persisted in its recruitment activities and has resorted to illegal tactics to motivate the subject. This motivation has gradually increased over the last 5 years. Of particular interest to the subject are statements by individuals who claim agency affiliation and offer stern warnings to the subject if his failure to join the CIA. And in early August of 1980, this is last summer, it was clearly stated that despite his excellent standing in the community, the subject may be framed or events staged or precipitated which would result in the subject's incarceration on criminal charges. In jail, the subject would be the mercy of the government intelligence bureaucracy. If this extreme situation should occur, the subject would be used as a contract agent with informal ties to the agency. The subject's choice would be to follow directions and work or stay in jail. That was dated June the 4th, 1981, and he's protected himself and forewarned with the Social Security number. Now, that is pretty sad. It reminds me of Mark David Chapman, who went from Hawaii to Georgia and then went to New York and was evidently programmed to kill John Lennon and didn't want to do it and went back to Hawaii and then did go to New York with several thousand dollars and succeeded in killing John Lennon. But the original story was that Chapman was arrested earlier in Florida, years earlier, on some charges, the first computer printouts, and there was an article he had fled Tennessee. So it could have been that there were early arrest charges on him, and they used him as a program subject, saying, if you don't follow through, we need you, we trained you as a Jesus freak, a Lennon fan, you've listened to the cassettes, the music, we've trained you, we've taken you around the world to the Beatles concert, and we need you and your training and your motivation. And if you don't follow through, we'll put you in jail on the other charges, and then we can experiment on you there and make you be there. Or we need you to put you in a location where you would be obviously entrapped and take the rap for somebody else. Now, there are many people that believe there was a second gunman and extra shots when John Lennon was shot at the Dakota Hotel in New York City. But this is an interesting item that was sent from Santa Barbara News and Review, and it is indicative that a person is afraid of the possibilities and is fully aware of the way the agency operates. This is the end of 30 minutes. We'll take a 1 minute break and then come back.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.
Come on down, we need you. Join